Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This 2021 season is full of high rollers with deep pockets who will let it ride. Football 21, a game of blackjack.
Here is a kick. It's got the distance. It's got the distance. And it is good!
Will the future Hall of Famers still be aces?
Rodgers in the shotgun, takes the snap, lofts it over the right side. Devontae, over the shoulder, catch, got it!
Can fresh face upstarts beat the house?
They're in victory formation, and Baker Mayfield takes a knee. The Browns are going to the playoffs.
Which of the college football contenders will be dealt a stiff hand?
It'll start with a throw. Rattler, deep drop.
Takes a shot for Mims behind the defense. Got him! Touchdown, Peter!
For the 21 season, we're doubling down.
This is starting to become very, very real.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you. We broadcast live from Boise, Idaho, the studios of 93.1 KTIK, The Ticket. We've been here all week long broadcasting live the DA show, and today we do Sunday morning live from here as well after last night's Boise State-Oklahoma State game on the blue turf. Coming up this morning on the show in 20 minutes, excessive celebration, your best play-by-play calls across the CBS Sports Radio network of college football affiliates. Also, we've got Neil Smith, a member of the All-Decade team of the 1990s. He's going to join us coming up here later on this hour as well. Next hour, Larry Hartstein's going to join us. Larry's our Vegas virtuoso, a man that has his finger on the pulse of Vegas and how the sharps look at today's NFL action. We will preview the NFL week number 2 and react to college football's week number 3. It's all straight ahead right here on Sunday Morning Football. You can always tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Boy, a lot of interesting stuff happened yesterday in college football and some really interesting matchups today as well in the NFL. Thanks to Carl Dukes and company for keeping us warm on the skillet, if you will, at the top of this hour. And now we jump fully into Sunday Morning Football. Now, yesterday, coming into this game, the SEC on CBS game, Alabama at the Swamp, almost everybody gave Florida no chance, none whatsoever. Bama had been thoroughly dominant in their early games this season. We saw that opener for the season against Miami. No contest there. The Gators did not appear to have an offense that could keep up with the Tide, and certainly the Tide's defense, the much-acclaimed Alabama defense, was going to squeeze Florida into submission. Even though this thing was in the Swamp, this was a 15.5-point spread. This was one of the largest lines ever for Florida at home at the Swamp. So almost nobody gave the Gators much of a chance. If you watch this game yesterday, a couple of things come to mind. Not only did Florida have a chance, not only did the Gators have a shot at knocking off the Tide yesterday, but also after the first quarter, you could make the argument Florida was the better football team. After the first quarter, you could make the argument the Florida Gators were the better football team. Let's begin there. Here it is, your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
Coming into this season, Alabama was the odds-on favorite to repeat. They had all of this talent on the defensive side of the football, even if they lost a lot of talent to the NFL draft. And when we looked at this schedule, the one that really jumped out was at A&M, not at the Swamp. Again, most people assumed this was going to be a boat race. Alabama by multiple touchdowns yesterday in the game, but that did not happen. I think two things jumped out. Number one, that Tide defense wasn't nearly as good as reported, as believed, as hyped. And that the Gators offense, after that first quarter, won the battles up front. Here's how it sounded to the Swamp yesterday.
Two-point conversion try. The running back, and he'll get to the one, and he is stopped. He is stopped. Alabama holds on the two-point conversion. Justin Aboigbe and Will Anderson stop the Gators on a two-point conversion at the two-yard line.
We could not sustain our intensity, especially on defense. We had a lot of mental errors, and they did a good job. They did a really good job, had a good plan. And, you know, when you're playing the option, and, you know, everybody's got to be disciplined. Somebody's got the quarterback, somebody's got the pitch. And because we weren't doing that correctly, I think we were afraid to do a lot of other things that we had planned in the game.
That's the two-point conversion that was no good, courtesy of Eli Gold and the Learfield IMG College Network. That, of course, Nick Saban after the victory, 31-28. I did not like that call on the two-point conversion by Dan Mullen. I didn't like that at all. I thought the way that you had run the football against Bama, the way that you had controlled the clock and controlled the offensive line up front and the defensive line, I thought allowed you in that spot to spread a little wider, to get your backs into space, to get your quarterbacks into space, to find a seam. That little RPO didn't seem to be the best way to tie that football game up in the trenches. Big guys in the Alabama defensive line didn't like that call by Dan Mullen. But overall, for the Gators, close, no cigar. I think the big story yesterday was that, again, the Gators won the final three quarters and that Alabama didn't look nearly as dominant as most people would have assumed. I stayed away from this game. I'm never going to bet against Nick Saban. But the 15.5 felt really rich. At the end of the day, what we've seen is Ohio State lose, Clemson lose, Oklahoma look eh, Alabama look eh. This is not the normal college football season. And the fatigue of the same schools, the same teams, the same coaches in the college football playoff is not going to be what happens this January. What we have seen already is that all of the normal participants that we are ready to see in the college football playoff have their flaws, have their vulnerabilities. And yesterday for Bama, a defense that allowed the 26 points after the first quarter and a defensive line that was pushed around and the Gators running the football almost at will. And that should be alarming. That should be the antenna goes up. Of course, Nick Saban's normally on that train. He's going to pick up on any little thing, vulnerability, weakness that his team shows. But yesterday specifically, that effort, that defense, getting gashed like that on the ground, you're not going to win at College Station. You're not going to win against a team like Auburn later in the season, the Iron Bowl on the road. You might not be able to beat LSU. That was the first of three or four games. Now we look on the schedule and say, well, you know what? Alabama actually can be beaten. Now, speaking of Clemson, okay, week number one, you play a Georgia team. You get off of the wrong foot. Offense is brutal, but defensively, you're spectacular. You think going into yesterday's game against Georgia Tech, it's a no-brainer. It's Clemson. It's Georgia Tech. Tech's still trying to build up its program. It's still trying to define itself offensively. This is a game where Clemson gets right. But that's not what happened at all. Let's listen in on the ACC Digital Network.
All the timeouts have been used. Down to this. There's the run. It's a shovel pass.
We're getting better, but we're still a work in progress. And tonight was an incredibly strange game, unbelievable situations that came up in the game. Offensively, they absolutely lined up in nothing that we prepared for. They decided that they were going to just play all odd double cloud and, you know, play corners up, play overhangs, and make us go everything in between the tackles and give us the opportunity there to do that. And just not let us have the big play. That was just kind of like, that was what they were going to do.
Bob Wischusen on ACC Digital Network on your play-by-play call. Dabo Swinney after an absolutely brutal 14-8 win over Georgia Tech. Clemson's defense didn't give up a touchdown again. They give up two field goals and a safety and win 14-8. Clemson's defense has been sensational this year, was once again sensational yesterday against the Yellow Jackets. The huge, alarming story out of yesterday's college football landscape, and I would say the season so far in general, has been just how impotent the Clemson Tigers offense has been. A Clemson Tigers offense that has been traditionally phenomenal with first-round elite quarterback talent and quarterback and wide receiver and running back talent up and down their roster. I mean, this is a college football program that has had Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence in recent years. And yet here they are with DJ Uiagalelei, who is supposed to be a five-star elite type of talent, and DJ has been a nightmare. Yesterday, Clemson throws for 126 yards. 126. And for DJ, coming into the season with all of the hype and all of the expectations, and even smart football people saying he's just as good as Trevor Lawrence, he might be an upgrade over Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson offense won't miss a beat, he's been brutal. He's been absolutely brutal. Here are his total passing yards over the first 3 weeks of the season. 178 against Georgia. 171 against South Carolina State. 126 last night. One touchdown, two INTs in just 3 weeks. He's been sacked seven times. DJ's been terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I don't know where this guy is supposed to be, the five-star recruit, the big-time talent, the guy with the bigger arm than Trevor Lawrence, he's getting just eaten up. Now, part of this is the Clemson offensive line has not been good. This Clemson offensive line has been rough around the edges. This Clemson offensive line has not been able to get that push up front. But DJ's supposed to be a special talent, and he hasn't been. He hasn't been anything close to it. And frankly, when you look at this Clemson team, yeah, they should be the best team in the ACC by a long shot. They should. But with the way the offense is running, barely so, you could see Clemson losing multiple games this year. This is what I'm talking about off the top. Alabama looking vulnerable. Ohio State looking vulnerable. Oklahoma looking vulnerable. And Clemson flat out looking awful on offense. This is not going to be your normal college football playoff. And in the NFL, huge expectations coming into the season for the Buffalo Bills. But week number one, lost to the Steelers at home. A lot of pressure on the Bills today in Miami. Here's some of it, courtesy of our friends, Bill Hillgrove and Craig Wolferly on the Steelers Radio Network.
Fourth down and 12, punt formation. And it was blocked, picked up by the Steelers, into the end zone. That's a Pittsburgh touchdown on the blocked punt. Uli Gilbert blocked a punt and running it into the end zone. was Terrell Edmonds for the touchdown.
UG3, Billy. It was UG3, Ulysses Gilbert III.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not what we hope for, what we strive for, how we wanted to start the season. But that's why we're playing 17 of them. You know, we're not expecting to win them all. You know, we go into each game expecting to win, but we understand that it's a long season.
Josh Allen following the 23-16 loss last week. And you know what? Allen's got pressure on him because he got that big contract of the offseason, and because they came off that AFC title game appearance, and because they are the most talented team of the AFC East. They are. More so than the Dolphins, more so than the Patriots. The Bills were supposed to take that next step, the next leap, and Josh Allen as well. Now, Allen had a wonderful leap last year. They're a well-coached team. They're going to be in it till the end. But last week certainly had to raise some eyebrows around Western New York, and I think certainly did around the NFL as well. Last week was a bullet point for Mike Tomlin that you cannot count out a coach like that and a team like that with veteran experience and a functional organization, a well-coached crew. But for the Bills, if they begin 0-2 with a loss to the Dolphins today on the road against a plucky Dolphins team that also is trying to make its next step after beating the Patriots on the road last week, the Bills would fall to 0-2, the Dolphins would climb to 2-0, and that's already a four-game spread of this division. This is a crucial game for the Bills. An absolutely crucial game, not only to make sure you don't fall to 0-2, which is a difficult hole to dig out of, but to make sure you are not staring up at four-game difference and the first tiebreaker head-to-head with the Miami Dolphins. It's hard to put that much pressure on a Week 2 game. There's a lot of football left, but this one is huge for the Buffalo Bills. And that is your Sunday Gunslinger. Tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Now, every single week in college football, we love to pick through the rubble. We love to look at the ridiculousness, the absurdity, the crazy endings of the college football weekend that was. And that's why we have this next segment. Here it is, Excessive Celebration.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
We've got a bunch of folks down there.
He caught it.
It's excessive celebration.
It's going to be caught. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. I can't believe what I just saw. And this place is an insane asylum.
Our first clip is a highlight. If you did not see yesterday, you must go to your phone, search it, go to your computer and search it. This is one of not only the highlights of this year, this will be one of the greatest college football plays of the decade. I say that without any hyperbole, without any unreasonable hype. This is one of the great athletic plays in college football's decade. In the Oklahoma game, DJ Graham, cornerback for the Sooners, goes up and has a backhanded, one-handed snare of an INT of a pass and brings that and cradles that and comes into his body and falls down with the ball. It is one of the most spectacular athletic plays I have ever seen. Here's how it sounded on Fox Sports yesterday.
Fourth down and 18. Nebraska going for it. Martinez steps up. Throws. Oh, what an interception! Oh, my gosh! DJ Graham! Give me that, Odell!
Now, you heard right there the great Gus Johnson on the call. And Gus likes to get up and get loud and sometimes might oversell a highlight or two. But what that reaction was absolutely truthful. DJ Graham's interception is absolutely wild. You have to go see this. It's fourth and 18 from the Sooners' 23-yard line. Nebraska back to pass at a broken play, flings it right side. DJ Graham inside his own five. Could have knocked it down, of course, and still gotten possession, but goes up horizontal to the field, backhand stabs it, brings it into the body, interception. It is an Odell Beckham-type catch on an interception reaction play. It is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Meantime, SMU, Louisiana Tech. Here's how it sounded on the CBS Sports Network.
6 seconds to go. Mordecai going to step up. One last play. Throw to the end zone. Into the end zone. Knocked around and caught. It is caught. Reggie Robertson with the deflection and the touchdown. Are you kidding me?
What a crazy ending to that game as well. Again, at the CBS Sports Network, a 33-yard touchdown to Reggie Robertson for Tanner Mordecai as time expires and SMU beats Louisiana Tech on the final play of the game, 39-37. And finally, Michigan State hammering Miami yesterday. Here's George Blaha on the Spartans Radio Network.
Peyton Thorne, the son of a coach, knows what needs to be done. He takes the snap, winds up and throws toward the end zone. He's got a man open. It's caught. Jalen Naylor. Touchdown, MSU. Wow. What a throw and a heck of a call.
Oh, my goodness. The Miami Hurricanes. Oh, my goodness. They get housed by Alabama week number one. They nearly get upset, have to slip by Appalachian State last week, and then get punched in the mouth at home against Michigan State. The Spartans came into their house and just dominated. Final score, 38-17. For Manny Diaz's crew, preseason top 25 school, top 25 program, expectations on getting to the ACC title game, they've been awful. They should give no hope, no belief, no benefit of the doubt from Canes fans who've been desperately waiting for the Canes to finally jump back and be a contender. They've been awful this season. And yesterday was a bludgeoning. Michigan State outscored the U on the road in Miami 21-3 in the fourth quarter. That one was a beatdown, a beatdown. And Miami's got to be wondering what the heck it's got itself into. An ACC championship game doesn't look like an ACC championship team. They've gotten pushed around. Michigan State's a 3-0 team right now. Props to the Spartans. Miami falls to 1-2, and their only win is skating by App State. Yikes. That's your excessive celebration. Now, when we come back here on the show on Sunday Morning Football, Neil Smith is going to join us. Neil is one of the great defensive linemen of the 1990s, playing a crucial part of those great Chiefs teams, defenses under Marty Schottenheimer of the 90s. Also, though, back-to-back Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos after he left in free agency for the arch rivals. We'll talk to Neil Smith about this year's Chiefs team and about his career coming up here next. D.A. Damon Amendolara with you for the 93.1 KTIK, the Ticket Studios in Boise, Idaho. Standing by with your headlines on this Sunday Morning Football. Here's Kevin.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dexter.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Football, everybody, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Heard hundreds of affiliates across the country and on Sirius XM, channel 206. Joining us here on the show is my next guest, DA, with you throughout the morning, each and every Sunday morning. He is a multi-time Super Bowl champion with the Denver Broncos. He's a six-time Pro Bowler as well. He is a member of the NFL's All-Decade Team of the 1990s and one of the greatest Chiefs defensive players ever to do it, part of their Hall of Fame. Joining us this morning here on CBS Sports Radio is the great Neil Smith. Neil, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Top of the morning to you guys, too.
Appreciate it very much. Taking some time out and speaking to the Chiefs last weekend. Comeback victory over the Cleveland Browns. This weekend, they've got a tough Baltimore Ravens team, and so never easy for the Chiefs, but last week they kind of turned on the burners late. Usually not a good idea, but the Chiefs seem, you know, just basically dynamic enough to pull that off. Can the Chiefs win that way?
I don't think they can win that way every single time, but they definitely have a DNA in their approach to look like they have more comeback games than Patrick Mahomes in coming since he came to Kansas City. But I think that, you know, looking at each game at one at a time, what they did last week, I don't think they want to do that every single game. They have to rely upon their, you know, offense comeback from 22 or down by 16 and come back and win that ball game.
What is it when you watch Patrick Mahomes? We know his athleticism is off the charts. His arm strength is amazing. But there's something intangible about him. When you watch Patrick Mahomes, what do you believe it's about him as a personality or about as a competitor that sets him apart?
Well, looking at him, I think the game is slowed down tremendously where he can see everything. And that don't come into a young guy into, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years into his career, and especially at the quarterback spot. But I think that, you know, when Patrick had an opportunity to sit behind a guy, you know, such as Green, Alex Smith, and had an opportunity to see how the game is acted and what you got to put into it, and then the turnover ratio, you know, his big kick coming out of college that, you know, he's radical, he throw the ball all over the field, but he got a great arm strength. So I think once Andy Reid, Coach Reid got a hold to him, he kind of set him down and let the game come to him. Now the game is so easy and it's slowed down to him that he can see things before and he knows the matchups that he wants. And that's when he goes to the guys, you know, such as Kelce, and then, you know, you got Tyreek Hill and different players that plays a part in the offense.
You were one of the best pass rushers of your generation, as I mentioned, an all-decade team member of the 1990s for the NFL. Neil Smith joining us this morning on the show. And there's a couple of hits each and every week that drive me insane. A defensive player comes in and he hits a quarterback and he doesn't hit him high, doesn't hit him low, hits him in the target area, doesn't land on him, doesn't hit him late, and yet it's a 15-yard flag. In other words, you just basically can't be mean to a quarterback. How frustrating is it as a player that played in your decade, in your generation, to watch things like that?
Very frustrating. You know, I feel sorry for the defensive guys. I really do. I mean, even in the defensive back areas, you know, catching guys and hitting guys, in the second level. I mean, the game has changed so much where they're taking the violence out of it. But yet, you know, if you look at it, that's why they don't show the old films anymore, because they want to do away with, you know, what involved in the game. The game started, it was a very physical game. And see, you know, what athletes after, you know, retirement, you know, how bad off they are. So it's good and it's some good and it's some frustrating, you know, not to see, you know, somebody can hit the quarterback if you touch him. You can't hit him with your shoulder almost. I mean, I just understand when a defensive guy, a quarterback or a running back, drug the head, a defensive guy kind of lowers his head too, and they happen to hit helmet on helmet, that's what's going to happen. He gets penalized for us. And it's just, to me, it's kind of different. But, I mean, if I was taught to tackle with my shoulders, I can do that too. You know, I was never taught. I was always taught, you know, put the head across the boundary and stop the target there. That's why you see a lot of broke tackles. That's why you see a lot of arm tackles. And that's why the guys, you know, most of them guys that get hurt, they get hurt up about it because of, you know, all that grabbing.
You played in an era where there was some unbelievable defensive talent. I mean, the all-decade team of the 90s, Bruce Smith, Reggie White, Cortez Kennedy, John Randall, Junior Seau, Derek Thomas, your teammate, Kevin Green, Dion, Rod Woodson, Steve Atwater. All of those guys are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In fact, there's some second-team guys, such as Chris Dolman, Warren Sapp, Darrell Green, and Aeneas Williams, that are also in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You were a second-team member of the all-decade team. You played for back-to-back Super Bowl champion of the Denver Broncos. You have great accolades and great accomplishments, and I think deserving of conversation for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Is that something that you oftentimes think about as well?
Absolutely. It comes to my mind every day. Why am I not there? Why not me? You know, I'm like, I think that once you do the body of work, you know, and the body of work speaks for itself, the numbers don't lie, then, you know, what are you waiting on? What are you looking at? You know, I know a lot of these young men now that, you know, that's in the media, you know, it was a lot younger. They don't remember. I played in three decades. You know, I played in the 80s and 90s and in 2000. I finished in 2000, and that's hard to do. And, you know, and I played it with a passion. I played it with, you know, because I had a love for the game. It wasn't for numbers. It wasn't for me to make it to the whole thing. You know, but as you spoke to them, you said yourself, when you see guys go before you, that's, you know, still worthy of it because it shouldn't be there. They wouldn't be there if they're not worthy of it. And then you look and question yourself, why not me? That's where I'm at. Why not me?
Well, I think, and I've had the great pleasure to speak to a number of retired NFL players from that era, the era that I grew up watching and loving, the 80s and the 90s, that I have a lot of respect for, that kind of felt like you, like, hey, when is my call? And I think one thing that's been very positive is that media attention on guys that deserve it but had been overlooked until that time is starting to grow more and more. Steve Atwater is a good example, another one of your teammates.
Absolutely.
Atwater was phenomenal but was overlooked after he retired for a number of years. Then finally media started noticing and drew some attention to it, and that helped nudge him in, and that was really rewarding, I thought, to see, and he was so appreciative of it. When you see a story like Atwater's, does that give you hope for your own career getting into the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely. You know, I was, like you say, I played with a number of guys that played the game with a passion, played a lot of Pro Bowls with most and all of them, played against most of them. And, you know, to see Steve Atwater go into, you know, and I was actually there because Steve Atwater really was one of the key reasons why I got to go as a free agent from the Broncos. That he said that really stuck to me and telling me that I am the missing piece that they need for me to you know, to get there and for them to win it all meant a lot to me, because if I'm the missing piece and that's all you need for me to win, I'm in. And that's what I told him. And it spoke for itself. You know, the back-to-back championships, it made you feel well. You know, I never forget Mr. Pat Bowden put the most pressure on me ever in my life in football when he came and asked me, what's the reason are you – why are you here? And I said, I'm here, you know, to win. He said, no, we know how to win. And then he asked me again, he said, why are you really here? I said, I want to just send it to, you know, I want to see and go as far as we can in the playoff and hopefully, you know, to win. He said, no, you're here to win it all. And wow, when he told me that, it kind of put the pressure on yourself. And I never forget, you know, when I got my first championship and I was on at the podium with the trophy and one of Mr. Bowden's and Mr. B said, I'm going to tell you why I'm here. I'm here because we're going to win it all. And here's your damn trophy. So I thought that was one of the greatest things that you can ever do to an owner. And, you know, it's that feeling, man, that, you know, when you win championships, those things happen.
I'm going to make the case for Neil Smith in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that is that as an all-decade team member, that shows where you measured up against your contemporaries. That's a historic team that you're part of. You were the final piece or one of the final pieces of back-to-back Super Bowl championships. That's significant as well. But also we often say, can you write the history of the game without this person? And there is really a Neil Smith rule. What you had in the 90s when you were kind of flinching at the line, looking at the offensive lineman, it was such a smart play to draw offensive linemen into false starts, into offsides, that they had to ban that. In that way as well, a rule because of you suggests that you can't write the history of the NFL without you. So I kind of feel like that's a feather in your cap as well. What do you think?
It is, you know, and it's you know, it's good that you brought that up because a lot of people don't understand. You know, we study the game for tips. We study the games to be, you know, to get a winning edge as athletes, and then you study the game to get whatever you think that you could do on the field to make your to make a difference. And my situation was simply that, you know, I wanted to play where, you know, that if I had an advantage, I was going to use it, and I knew when to use it because it was in my DNA. Well, it happened because it was because of Arrowhead, you know, and now it's called the Kingdom. It's so loud in there, and one time, you know, I get ready to get up on the football, and I just roll up on my toes, and offensive lineman jump. I said, huh, did he move? And I didn't even get out of my stance. Well, that's scary. And they got 5 yard penalty. So when I used it for my advantage because I didn't want it to, and I know me and Derek Thomas didn't like to do third and short because, you know, we could be a little draw or something. I use it, you know, third and two to push them back, you know, and we can get that third down rush, you know, to get a sack. It was this advantage that I used, and then I never forget it. It went around for a long time, and then I was just told, like, you know, what you're doing is illegal. You can't do it anymore, and they put it in the book. I was like, wow, what did I do? I've never moved. I thought the game of football, you cannot move as a defensive person until the ball is snapped. That's my rule. They know the count. They know exactly it's on 1, 2, or whatever, or a clap of my hands. So they know when to move. So what am I doing that's wrong to do a rule? It just didn't digest very well to me. That's all I want to say.
Yeah. Well, having spent time in Kansas City working for 610 Sports Radio and being around you guys, and then also just admiring the Chiefs defense of you and DT and Dale Carter and James Hasty and Sally Amu and all those great players and how physical you guys were, man. You were a joy to watch and one of the great defenses of the era. And I really hope that you consider getting more consideration for that Pro Football Hall of Fame. Neil Smith joining us this morning on the show. Neil, really great to catch up, man. Thanks so much. And we'll have to do this again a little bit later on in the football season. We'll see if the Chiefs can keep pulling rabbits out of hats.
Anytime. I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and we can do it again.
Very cool. Neil Smith joining us this morning on Sunday Morning Football. Really good case for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Part of that amazing Chiefs defense of the 1990s that helped the Chiefs really restructure and reestablish themselves as a franchise, as a winning franchise after the lean years of the 80s. DT, Derek Thomas, Neil Smith, Dale Carter, James Hasty, Dan Saliamua, some elite level defensive standouts for the Chiefs. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home, and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. When we come back here on the show, I'm in Boise, Idaho, so I was on the blue turf, and I was watching Oklahoma State come into Albertson Stadium. How did it go? My breakdown of Boise State, Oklahoma State, as well as a preview of the Ravens with a huge game against those Chiefs tonight. That's next on Sunday Morning Football.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.